From Lakeshore Public Radio, this is Regionally Speaking. I'm Chris Nolte, and it won't be much longer before we find out when Northwest Indiana's newest gaming and entertainment destination opens for business and for the public here in Northwest Indiana. Matt Schuffert is the president of Hard Rock Casino Northern Indiana, and he's with us today to tell us all about the big casino that is being built on I-80/94 at Burr Street in Gary, and what it's going to mean for voters in Northwest Indiana, the people who are interested in gaming at the casino, and residents as well. And Matt, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for having us. Exciting times definitely coming up here for sure, not only for the city of Gary, but for all of Northwest Indiana. Thanks for having me.
I think everybody's very excited about this. First off, how are things coming along with the construction of the new casino?
The construction is going very well. We are at the point now where we are starting to bring in a lot of the gaming equipment, things that really fall under the Gaming Commission's umbrella, so to speak, but construction is going very well. The property is looking great. It's like I said, it's really now a time to get some gaming equipment, some slot machines, table games, some other things, and really start to hire hundreds of people. That's what our team is really going to be focused on over the next several weeks as we look forward to getting the property open here in the spring.
Now, we're talking, of course, about what is replacing with the new casino. The aging Majestic Star boats are going to be closed out there at Buffington Harbor on Lake Michigan, and all of that will be shifted to the new casino. Will you first tell us a little bit about the choice of site? How did your folks come up with the idea of taking advantage of that spot of land right there at I-80/94? It's on the eastbound side of the interstate. What were the advantages of using that spot?
Well, I think from the advantages of this location are exactly that, the location. There are 200,000 cars that pass by this site each and every day. It is on the southwest corner of Burr Street and 8094, and you arguably can get off of 8094 at the Burr Street South exit and be in our parking lot in a matter of a minute. And for guests and casino customers in this market, it's just all about ease and saving of time, and based on the fact that we are just so convenient to get to, I think that was a major player and major reason why this location was selected.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand you have the casino and the related buildings that are going up right now. Are there any plans for expansion? Is that part of what you're hoping over time that will happen there at that corner?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're focused now on this initial phase of the property and getting it open and obviously enjoying some success from that perspective. But the second phase, the second additional plans is to add a hotel and a parking garage. The first phase really focused on the actual casino itself, as well as with the Hard Rock Live venue, which is our entertainment venue, which we're excited to be able to operate when obviously the world is ready for concerts again, and we can do those in a safe and sound manner.
That's great. Well, tell us more about what is going to be planned there with the live performance venue as things open up and people come to the site. They'll not only be there to take advantage of the casino itself, but also about entertainment there at the site. What are you planning to do for folks here in Northwest Indiana, for that matter, all around the region, that might want to come in for a big show or something?
Absolutely, and I think you in your last comment there, I mean, this is a Chicagoland destination, a Midwest destination. We fully intend it to be attractive option for folks all over the area. But from an amenity perspective, from an entertainment perspective, I should say, I mentioned the Hard Rock Live, which
right.
will be about a 2,000-seat entertainment venue that will definitely house all levels of entertainment, big acts, medium acts, maybe even some small acts. Entertainment and music and fun is incredibly important to Hard Rock, and that's what the brand's all about. One of the things that you'll see when the property is open is how much music memorabilia we have. Hard Rock has over, the world's largest memorabilia collection of music memorabilia, that is, over 80,000 pieces, and we're going to have several hundred of those here. But in addition to the Hard Rock Live stage, we have two other stages on property. We'll have a stage that's in our Hard Rock Cafe, and we'll have a small stage which is in our Council Oak Steakhouse Bar. So we'll have multiple options for entertainment, larger scale in Hard Rock Live, medium to smaller scale, and the two other stages that I mentioned in two of our wonderful restaurants.
That's great to hear. I understand a sports book is also planned in the site as well, too, which is, I know, getting to be very, very popular here in Northwest Indiana these days.
Yeah, absolutely. We will have a sports book and a sports betting kiosk area in a great location, in a location very, very close to where our Hard Rock Cafe Center Bar is going to be. So a lot of synergies there, and a lot of exciting things are going to happen in that location. But yes, sports betting has, I think, been an incredibly successful addition to the gambling landscape in the state of Indiana ever since it was implemented in 2019. I think the volumes, the revenue that the state is seeing is, I think, is exceeding expectations, and it is definitely an attractive option for folks in Chicagoland.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Matt Schuffert, who's the president of Hard Rock Casino Northern Indiana, which, of course, is in the final stages of construction in its first phase. That'll open up at I-80-94 and Burr Street in Gary. And you just mentioned, Matt, about the fact that the Hard Rock franchise is based on showing entertainment memorabilia. Now, of course, we have certainly the famous, most probably one of the most famous groups in the country with Jackson 5 coming out of Gary. Will there be any Jackson 5 memorabilia showing up there at the casino?
100%. And I think that will be, to a certain degree, the centerpiece of our memorabilia display that we have. Obviously, the Jackson family, incredible contributions to music, and definitely exciting that they are from Gary, Indiana, and still have great ties there and great respect for that community. But to answer your question, Chris, yes, I think you walk in the front doors, you will definitely see what we think is definitely our tribute and our respect to the Jackson family. Don't want to share any details yet. We want you all to see it when you get here.
Well, let's hope that it's soon. We hope the grand opening comes soon here. When you talk about creating a new casino, of course, we're very familiar with the casinos that are in Northwest Indiana now. They all basically have the same sorts of things. That is, they have the restaurants, and maybe they have hotel rooms, which eventually the new casino will have. But we speak about having the opportunity to see more business opportunities here in Northwest Indiana come from the casino. In fact, I know recently you had a vendors fair to ask for people, companies that are interested in being partners with Hard Rock Casino Northern Indiana to provide the things that the casino will need the most. Will you talk a little bit about what all a casino needs to have established before you open the doors?
Well, I think when you look at the amenities and the offerings that we have, not casino, slot machines, table games. We're going to have five wonderful restaurants. We have retail. We have entertainment. You know, we have a large footprint here that needs to be maintained and upgraded at times. So from food to gaming supplies to landscaping, I mean, it's endless. Office supplies, paper supplies, you know, there's just endless amounts of different types of things, goods and services that we need here to effectively run. And from a vendor relationship perspective, you know, first and foremost, you know, being a great community partner is what Hard Rock is all about and what I want this property and this team to be all about. And I think that starts first with supporting local businesses. So we had a vendor fair last Friday that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Over 100 vendors showed up. We wish we could have had more, but obviously we needed to be safe and sound from a COVID restrictive perspective. And this was their opportunity and to meet us, and our opportunity to meet them and understand them and understand they can understand what our needs are. And it went very well. It was very successful. We met a lot of great businesses, some that have been in business for 20 years and some that are just starting out. That's okay. We want opportunity to be there for everybody. And in some cases, we would much rather deal with the local business down the street that can get us what we need quickly in lieu of dealing with some you know, big box retailers or big box businesses that it may take a long time to get. So it was a great first step in developing a lot of those wonderful relationships with local businesses. It's been a tough year for a lot of those local businesses, and we want to, you know, hopefully make 2021 and beyond a better year from them and develop a great partnership with them.
We mentioned earlier in our conversation about the fact that the new casino, of course, is going to take over for the aging Majestic Star Boats. They're on Lake Michigan at Buffington Harbor. And you've got employees that are going to be transferring over to the new casino. But you're also, I understand, looking to hire hundreds of new employees. Will you tell us about the employment process, what these people get to do, what kind of jobs are available, and the training that they have to go through to be able to get into those jobs?
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the Majestic Star facility, and there's 500 to 600 great team members there. They're going to join our team here at Hard Rock Northern Indiana when when Majestic closes its doors and we get them over here to help us open ours. But on top of that, we're going to need another 500 to 600 to 700 team members to kind of join our team here in Northern Indiana, Hard Rock, Northern Indiana. We need everything. We need security, cage cashiering, food and beverage. As I mentioned, there's more than just gaming here. We've got all the additional amenities. But we're looking for great people with great experiences. And sometimes great people don't have a lot of great experience. Maybe they're fresh out of college. Maybe they're fresh into the workforce. We want to be able to show them, teach them a skill, as long as they're a great person willing to provide great guest service to our guests and to our fellow team members. But there's a lot of wonderful opportunities here. You're going to start to see a lot of job fairs, a lot of things that we're going to be doing from a bulk hiring perspective. We encourage applicants to go to hardrockcasinonorthernindiana.com to look for those opportunities. But there are many opportunities, many diverse opportunities for our for members who want to join our team here.
I imagine that also means there's some solid job opportunities for folks who live in Gary.
Absolutely. First and foremost, you know, we want City of Gary residents to have those opportunities. And then it, you know, obviously expands into Lake County and all of Northwest Indiana. This is a facility that, you know, once it's fully up and running, and I think we get some of the COVID restrictions behind us, we're going to employ 1,200 to 1,300 employees here, team members of our band. And I think, you know, that's that could grow depending on how business volumes grow and amenities that we build on the casino. But we look forward to being a great employer, the best employer in the area, and the first choice for folks who want to make a decision to make a job change or enter the job market.
Well, that's good to hear, Matt. Any word is yet or any idea yet when the grand opening is going to happen for the new casino?
We're going to be announcing that very soon. We're just finalizing a few details, but we do anticipate we're going to be announcing that in the next week or so, but it will be in the spring. And it will be here sooner than later. So just stay tuned on that one, Chris.
Matt Schuford is the president of Hard Rock Casino Northern Indiana, which is the $300 million facility in its first phase, including the casino and all of the amenities, at least to eat and enjoy yourself with the live performance venue that is coming as well at there at I-8094 and Burr Street in Gary. Matt, thank you for being with us to talk about the big facility that's opening up soon.
Chris, thank you so much. It's truly my honor to be here with you today, and just looking forward to getting this wonderful property open and getting the Northwest Indiana and all of Chicagoland the opportunity to see it. So thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. Another film involving Northwest Indiana history is coming out. You may get a chance to see it soon. It's involved the very famous, infamous murderess, Belle Gunness. With us to talk about the film production itself is Phil Potempa. He's, of course, a Northwest Indiana artist as well as a reporter and a writer for the Post Tribune. And, Phil, thank you very much for spending time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I've devoted many inches over the past few decades that Belle Gunness, and she seems to always continue to haunt us. And that's why there's a fascination.
That's right.
With her as an early serial killer.
When you first learned about the fact that this was going to be turned into the subject of a film, what were your first thoughts, and who would tell us involved in the production itself?
Well, originally I kind of thought, oh, here we go again, because there have been other projects dedicated to her. And for anybody who needs a little update, Belle Gunness from LaPorte, in the rural area on a farm, turn of the century, originally from Norway, came here as an immigrant, and really kind of made her way from Chicago to this rural farm, and suddenly kind of fell into the web of a black widow, where she would correspond with potential suitors. Often they themselves had either not been married or they were wealthy widowers, correspond in those early days, the letter of the lovelorn columns to connect with them, and then court them in some degree, and then eventually they found out that there was something else on Belle's mind other than romance, and that was murder, because she would murder them with the idea, again, of there being some financial maybe compensation or some way that she would benefit from this. And so this is what is the subject of this film called The Farm, because, of course, her farm there right on McClure Road outside LaPorte is where all this happened, and there's an entire museum dedicated to this. And Michael Bernarke, if you know that last name, Bernarke from Bernarke's Fruit Stand and Produce Stores, Michigan City, LaPorte area, mm-hmm. He has long worked on this project for about 12 years. And you're right, now it's going to happen. He is spending April with scheduling and shooting the official trailer, and has quite the star attached to it, and from there they'll begin their production.
Tell us more about who is going to direct the film itself and the trailer, of course, and a little bit more about the work that's involved in producing such a certainly a very interesting, but what could be, I guess, very macabre organization-type film here. So
it certainly is. It is a subject matter, again, it continues to fascinate. Michelangelo Bernarchi is writer, executive producer. Again, he's worked on this for some time. He's lined up an award-winning director, Tom Logan. They know this storyline inside out. Again, it's been a project in work for 12 years. And Michelangelo Bernarchi has a personal connection in that, again, I mentioned that family being in the La Porte area and known for their produce stands and their fruit markets. At the same time, the turn of the century, his great-grandfather really, or excuse me, I think it's his grandfather, mm-hmm. Angelo, was familiar with who Bell was. He sold her produce, and had maybe things turned a different way, maybe he could have fallen into one of these traps. So that's where the storyline comes from. It is based and steeped in history. He has added a different dimension to it, that there is also a bit of this kind of a romance secondary story of one of the young gals. Belle had some foster children under her care. One of them in this film is sort of really kind of portrayed as maybe, I know, a young lady. She is having a romance with this character, Angela, based on Michael's own grandfather. And that's what unfolds as they discover that Belle has this sinister side to her. And really, it should be quite an interesting production. And I mentioned the casting. Originally, a few years back, Anne Margaret had expressed interest. Instead, we have the film star Tracy Lords playing the part of Belle Guinness. Now, anyone that's seen Belle, she's somewhat matronly looking, and we think of Tracy Lords from maybe in the early 90s, late 80s, and her world of adult films. She has since transitioned into more mainstream things many, many years ago, back in the decades of the 90s. So she's kind of already made that transition on TV and films. And so she will be in the title character of Belle Guinness in this project.
You mentioned earlier about the director that was chosen, Tom Logan. Tell us a little about the films that he has directed and gotten involved in, and how it turns out that he was chosen for this particular film coming up.
Well, you know, Tom Logan is somebody who does a lot of independent projects, and that's kind of where the wave is of today. You know, when it comes to anybody planning things that are going to be out there, be them streaming or be them even the smallest movies, it's the small independent projects that seems to be the ones that are garnering the film. And it's interesting, we're talking on the day that the Oscar nominations happen to be released, right, when we're doing our interview here this week. So it's interesting, you know, independent films are kind of where it's at, and this is kind of where he's made his name. And he's had a long association also with Michael Bernarchi. So he's somebody that they've kind of worked together on other projects, which makes them kind of a natural fit. As far as some of the things that folks might know him from, some independent works, you know, he has done a little bit of TV, but a lot of times it's more kind of the movies that, you know, we think of. So he's done some things as early on with just some of the TV shows you might have think of in the 1970s, like Chips and Hardy Boys, and so he's been in the industry for a while. But he's done, you know, some of the films that are, you know, a little bit more recently. He's done things such as you know, real stories of Highway Patrol, where, again, he wants to bring to life things that might be your everyday experience or path, and then take it away into kind of another realm and kind of inspire what could have been or how, you know, it might be. He's written even some books on acting, so he's kind of seen both sides of the camera, actually.
Well, that's interesting. Tell us about the relationship that Michael and Tom, as the producer and director of this film, have had with the city of La Porte administration, in particular with Mayor Tom Dermody. I'm sure they had to approach city officials to get approval for some of this.
Certainly have. They've been working on this because, of course, if they're going to even do something as what seems to be as short-term as what just getting the trailer in the can, they have to have some of the streets that are going to be blocked off. They are going to be looking for some extras, so stay tuned for your listeners. If you're somebody that's ever wanted to be discovered, that will be out there soon, where folks can maybe have their moment, maybe in the background, or you never know what's going to unfold when it comes to getting that opportunity to have a little bit of screen time. They did their research, and the La Porte County Museum, as I mentioned earlier, was key.
Right.
They have a Belle Guinness Museum there. Some of the skulls of her victims that were dug up, as many as 14, confirmed on that farm buried before there was a tragic fire that kind of erased the farm scene there. They have some of the skulls of the victims on display there in the museum, as well as all the history files. So both Tom and Michael have worked very much with LaPorte County Historical Society President Bruce Johnson for their research. They've done their homework. This will be a solid film, and I think it'll get some definite attention for sure. You know, and if somebody is really hankering and saying, when is this going to come out? You know, I'd have to wait another year or so. In the meantime, there's a wonderful documentary that the LaPorte County Historical Museum and Society has done called The Guinness Mystery. It's a DVD. It's available. $25. You can contact them right there, and they will help you out with whatever you need by calling their phone number or their website. But that'll tide you over and give you some of the backstory before this big feature film project hits the screen.
Well, it certainly should hope is soon, and let's hope that the city of LaPorte ends up being the place for the premiere.
That's right. And, you know, LaPorte, of course, has their own filming roots because there were so many of the films that got their start there. I think most people associate a lot of time with John Hancock and his Christmas film Prancer, starred Cloris Leachman, who recently passed away. That about the reindeer Prancer in the movie title was filmed all around LaPorte back in the 90s. So LaPorte has had its little bit of its claim to fame, with, again, John Hancock being one of the favorite sons of LaPorte native originally, being the person to first wave his camera in that direction and capture everything with his lens.
Well, Phil, we're certainly looking forward to the work that's going to be done on this current film, The Farm, that is being shot in LaPorte with the trailer work that's going to be underway, and eventually certainly the premiere of this feature film looking into the life and the infamy of notorious mass murderess Belle Gunness, as, of course, we all know from the city of LaPorte, or used to be out in the country at the time. And Phil Potempa, thank you very much for telling us more about this particular project that you had and put in together in your story in the Post-Tribune. And we hope to have you back closer to the time for the premiere coming up.
Thank you, Chris, and to your listeners. And hey, if I were them, I'd try to get this done in time for Halloween. What a fun premiere, right, Chris?
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be great. Well, maybe they have that in mind. We'll just have to wait
and
see.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank
you so much.
It's been a year of living through the COVID-19 pandemic in Indiana. Through it, many frontline workers confronted personal fears to help schools and businesses running. Melissa Rose from Valparaiso was one of them, working both as a bus driver and as a personal shopper for the grocery delivery app Instacart. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Justin Hicks worked with Melissa to produce this story.
My day usually starts very early. I'm up at 4 a.m. and I'm out of the house by 6 every morning. Get on my school bus. Sometimes that drive to school, especially in the wintertime, can be tricky at best. When we did go back to school in August, I was petrified. I'm expected to go be locked in a box with 40 kids. Crazy, right? But knock wood, it has been okay for me so far. But the anxiety, oh boy, oh boy. Of course, I try and make a point of always having a smile, although now it's masked. But there's a smile in my voice. Good morning. Oh, I love your new hair. Oh, I love your coat. Whatever it is, that little bit of time that I get to be a bright spot totally can change my whole day too. Sounds bad no matter how I say it, but you know, I used to love to see my kids every day. After summer break, I'd be like, yeah, I get to see, you know. But now I'm kind of scared of the kids. I'm anxious around them. I'm afraid of getting sick. That's it. I'm afraid of getting sick. On a typical day, I'm off the bus at 9 a.m. and I usually try and do at least 3, maybe 4 hours of Instacarting.
Morning.
People don't understand a lot about how the gig economy works. It's just somebody on the other end of an app and my food shows up. That's just not the case. You know, a lot of work goes into it. We're kind of like the unsung hero. I remember, you know, everybody was, grocery store workers, they're right there at the front line. And Meanwhile, Instacart shoppers were just furiously combing the aisles in the background, getting it done. But I would never want to take away from cashiers and stockers and everybody else. We're all in it together. They have hired thousands and thousands and thousands of new shoppers. Completely out of control hiring. If you sign somebody on and they do a certain amount of batches, they're going to pay you $725. People go nuts for that. But every time you sign up another shopper, you're throwing another piranha in the tank. There's somebody else now that you have to fight against to get what few orders there are. It's taken everything away from the old shoppers, and it's hard now to earn. It really is. It's hard to earn money now. I am optimistic. I have to be optimistic. Pessimism and I don't get along real well. You know, we've had a bad turn. My husband recently lost his job of many, many years on top of everything else. But I've also learned to look at the bright side, which I never used to really do. I used to just, if it was bad, it was all going to be bad until it wasn't. And I hope it sticks around. I hope I stay this person. I hope I can remain the person that can roll with the punches. I'm going to be okay at home with my husband, being quiet, being still. We're going to make it. Somehow, we're going to make it through this.
That's Valparaiso resident Melissa Rose. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thanks for joining us. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we have a spokesperson from NIPSCO to tell us more about how the utility is helping people, even though the winter shutoff moratorium has ended. And we'll revisit our conversation that we had the other day concerning the Friday Zoom discussion to be held at the IU Northwest campus on cybersecurity. We hope you can join us tomorrow.